Well, our title this morning is called Shotgun. How do we relate that to our scripture? Anybody have an idea?
Riding shotgun in the car.
You big mouth.
You betcha.
She saw my notes.
No, I did not.
You're exactly right. Did anyone else grow up calling shotgun when they were heading towards the car that they were about to ride in? Yeah. Yeah. And if you called shotgun, you got the privilege to sit in the passenger seat in the front, right next to the driver. But, and the first one to call shotgun got that privilege. But then one of your long-lost buddies, he always comes out and say, "Well, you may have been first, but you sat in the front the last time, so it doesn't count." Huh? So in this morning's gospel lessons, James and John are sort of calling shotgun in the sense that they are trying to vie for the best seats next to Jesus when he is glorified. How many of us would like to be in one of them seats? Sure. How many of us would be thrilled to death to just have a seat? Yeah. So we can call shotgun all we want. The funny and I suppose the sad thing about all this is that they had no idea what they were asking. Jesus had just told the disciples for the third time what is going to happen in Jerusalem. It doesn't sink in. They are so preoccupied with calling shotgun and sitting next to Jesus that they're not hearing what Jesus is telling them. It doesn't even touch the surface. James and John are thinking that Jesus' glory involves, get this, worldly power. That's why they wanted to be there. Their impression or conception of what being in glory sitting next to Jesus is totally different than reality. They think he will be politically lifted up. They suspect him to rule over Israel like a worldly king, and James and John want in on that power that they assume Jesus wants as well. There you go with that word assume again. Which goes to prove that you can, listen to this now, this proves that you can be a follower of Jesus Christ and still not get it. Yeah. Or our assumptions are different than the reality. We too can be followers of Jesus. We can walk with Jesus. We can talk with Jesus. We can hang out with Jesus' friends and still not get it. I suspect that there is a ton of people that call themselves Christians that don't get the whole picture, that are concerned with calling shotgun rather than paying attention to the reality. We can use the right religious buzzwords, but still not get the basic lesson of life that Jesus was trying to teach James and John and all of us since then. Scripture says this, Whoever wants to become great among you must be servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. Wow. Is that earth-shaking? Is that surprising? Does that help you to get it? So what does slave of all mean? It means exactly what it says. Slaves to all. Not just who I like, not just who I choose, not just who I want to be a slave to, but to all, to everyone, to everything that pertains to the kingdom of God. It means we serve everyone. It means that we are to humble ourselves before everyone, even the homeless, even those who everyone looked down on, even those who are being mean to us, even those who hate us and who backstab us and try and ruin us. You see, that's exactly what Jesus did. He was a slave to those who put him on the cross. He was a slave to those who lied at his trial. He was a slave to all. So Jesus says this: you can drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. What does that mean? How are we connecting the cup and the baptism to this being a slave to all? Jesus is clearly referring to his upcoming crucifixion. The cup, the crucifixion, this is what Jesus is referring to. And it can prove this because in the scripture it authenticates that in Gethsemane, when Jesus says and prays, "Take this cup from me." He wasn't carrying a little coffee mug around that says, "I love Jesus," or "God is the Father of all." He was heading for a cruel death, and he knew it, and he referred to it as his cup and asked the Father to take it from him. It is the cup of suffering that Jesus is describing to John and James, and the baptism of death. So now if John and James had understood this cup and baptism thing, would they have had a different question? Would they have had a different attitude? If they understood that being in glory with Jesus Christ is something different than they perceived it to be, would they have a different attitude? Would they even be a follower of Jesus? I don't know. But it's an interesting thought. It's vitally important to understand the seriousness of this situation. It should cause us to stop and think about our Christian calling. You see, the cup means, in a very real sense, that Jesus is going to experience unimaginable pain and ultimately death. And the baptism means, in a very real way, that Jesus will feel as though he is drowning in sorrow and suffering. And little do they know that Jesus' glory, remember they wanted to be with Jesus in his glory, right? They had no idea that Jesus' glory was being on the cross. We think of the cross as horrible and miserable and cruel and all of these fancy words that we can apply to it today, and all of them are true. But the real thing is because Jesus hung on the cross and died for us so that all of our sins could be forgiven, is his glory. That is why he was here. James and John didn't understand that. How many of us would want to look or would look forward to or want to be with Jesus in his glory if we understood that his glory was dying on the cross? Would probably change us a little bit, wouldn't it? And those who do end up at Jesus' right and left in glory are a couple of thieves. One on his right and one on his left. Right? And they were a couple of thieves that shared the same faith as Jesus Christ. So we need to be careful what we ask for. Our gospel lesson for this morning points out our needs to recognize how easy it is to give lip service to an idea and how difficult it is to live out the actual requirement of discipleship. How difficult is it to be a servant to all? Whole lot harder than everybody being a servant to me. Not near as pleasant, but far, far more rewarding. And that's what Jesus is talking about. That's what he was trying to teach the disciples, specifically James and John. It means complete submission to God. Do we ask that our lives give glory to God, yet avoid the sacrifice of self for the sake of others? Can we, or will we follow Jesus so closely that we accept his fate as our own? Can we, or will we follow him in full submission as servants and as slaves? Jesus may not call us to die literal dramatic death, but he does call us to live a dramatically different life. He calls us to be dying to the old sinful self and putting the needs of all others ahead of our own. Wow. Where did society miss that one? It's all about me today. Me and mine. Yeah, with Christians too. We're missing it. We're not getting it. How many of us actively put others ahead of ourselves? Oh, we might do it once in a while. When I need a feel-good moment, I might go do something like this. But how many of us have lives that are based on that? First and utmost. How many of us have slaves to all attitudes and actions in our lives? You see, there was a young man who became an active Christian in college. He was going through a turbulent time in his life, and in an emotional young life service, he gave his life to Christ. And he said this, "I have found what I've always been looking for." He completed school, went on with his work being slaves to all, and he now runs a ministry for inner city kids. He lives in a dangerous, tough part of town, exactly where the kids that he ministers to lives. He has been the victim of many violent crimes several times. Well, sort of what you sometimes get when you get Jesus. Yeah, I want to minister to all as long as they live in the gated community. I'm not interested in going down in the inner city and ministering to all. You see, here's what this young student learned. He thought he found Christ, but the reality is that Christ found him, and he got it, and he called shotgun because he wanted to be next to Jesus Christ, or better yet, wanted Jesus Christ to be next to him in his ministry. "We want you to do for us whatever we ask," said James and John to Jesus. How many of us have said the same thing? How many times did you hear that, so to speak, in our prayer this morning? Did I mention anywhere in that prayer that your will be done, Jesus? I didn't, did I? Shame on me. Because that's really what we're supposed to be doing. We want to ride shotgun with Jesus in his glory. We want to be number one. We want people to respect us. We want people to look up to us. We want to rule with Jesus Christ. We want to have authority over you and over others. This is what James and John were saying. This is what they were expecting. So I ask you this morning, what is your reaction to James and John's request? Is it like Kamala Harris and just laugh when you're asked a question that you don't like? Or is it embarrassment when you recognize that you didn't get it? So let's all ask ourselves this question. When we look into the mirror, are we that much different than James and John? Are we calling shotgun for the same reason as James and John? Because our perception is different than reality? We certainly know better than to make the kind of outlandish, insensitive requests like these narcissistic couple of guys do. But if we are really honest with ourselves, we might have to admit that we have spent all kinds of time scheming for privileged positions, seeking to be served rather than serve. I'm here to tell you that the church is full of these kind of people. Under the guise of calling themselves Christians, vying for these positions of leadership within the church, don't get it. They're too busy calling shotgun. You see, ambition is a good thing. But when you mix it with vanity, you get poison. And one reason it is poison is because it turns us into monsters who are willing to do just about anything to get our way. And this is Gary talking. Even if we have to deny Scripture, embrace homosexual lifestyles, marry same-sex people, so I can get my own way, so I can appear to be a leader to a certain element in our society. They don't get it. This isn't exclusive to the United Methodist Church either. The Reformed denomination right now is very strongly considering, if they haven't already voted to split over this same issue, because they too have leaders that don't get it. We have leaders that don't understand that you can hate the sin and still love the sinner. Amen. Thank you. And you can be a servant to all, including this element of our society, without accepting their lifestyle. And on their rise to the top, or are trying to rise to the top, a lot of people get stepped on. A lot of people get left out. They get pushed around. They get bullied and used and treated like objects rather than human beings who are created in the image of God. You see, we all have some Zebedee's sons in our genes. It's part of our nature. It's part of our broken condition. And it's part of what Jesus came to serve us for. There is beauty and joy and hope and freedom in serving others and joining with Jesus and forgetting about ourselves. You know how it is in the world out there. Those who have authority love to give orders and tell everybody what to do. The great one makes their authority felt. And we can all think of some people who come to our mind. I know we can. I know we don't have to work at it to bring them up to our minds. They could be people we work with or even people in the church. And Jesus looks at them and Jesus looks at us. It cannot be that way with you and me. Jesus calls us to exact and complete reversal, not a pyramid of hierarchy, but really a pyramid that is totally inverted. Pyramid, right? A few at the top, all at the bottom, right? An inverted pyramid. A few at the bottom and all at the top. The few at the bottom are serving all at the top. That's what an inverted pyramid is. That's what Jesus expects of us. We are to be the alternative to abusive, abrasive ways of the world. And this takes total submission to God. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.